Jesus is risen. And may the presence of our risen Lord be with us this day and always. Amen. Fear. It's something that all of us deal with somehow and sometime in our lives. Fear is something that we are regularly sold by 24-hour-a-day news channels. It slides in with posts about anniversaries and graduations and birthdays on our social media. There are even moments in our lives when sometimes we'll read a scary story or a scary book or go watch a scary movie so that we can feel a little bit more in control of our fear. Fear is a part of our lives. And yet in the middle of today's gospel story, Jesus says to us all, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. Jesus joins with angels and even the voice of God telling us to fear not. Now those words, fear not, or at least that sentiment, appears more than 350 times throughout all of Scripture. And while we may have to deal with fear in our lives, God, in His love for us, wants it to be way down on the list of things that we have to deal with any given day. And so today, Jesus does add His voice to those who are asking us to let go of our fear. But Jesus doesn't only say, do not be afraid. He gives us reasons that we can let go of that fear. He gives us a rationale to not be afraid. And He gives help for us to let go of that fear and walk into God's future with hope. And so in today's gospel, we're back in the upper room with Jesus and His disciples after their last meal together has ended. Jesus is talking, teaching, praying for the disciples. He's also playing with their memories. See, that's why the church has chosen these readings for after Easter. They're encouraging us to see what is happening, to hear what Jesus is teaching, but they want us to see it and hear it all in the light of the resurrection, all in the light of the truth that Jesus is risen. John, the gospel writer, has told us that all of these stories have been written for us to come to believe. Jesus has been trying to leave clues for the disciples, clues for us as well, to aid us in our lives as we follow a resurrected Lord. So there, in the upper room, is Jesus talking about God's love, talking about His imminent suffering and death, and then Jesus promises the disciples the Holy Spirit, an advocate and friend for their life and for our lives. Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will come and teach us and remind us of Jesus' instruction and love. You see, the Holy Spirit is the presence of God with all of us, each of us, daily and intimately. It is through the presence of the Holy Spirit that God guides us, directs us, calls us to follow, gathers us into community, enlightens us into how we can live, and sanctifies our lives and help us live holy. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is our advocate. And an advocate was and still is a defender. Actually, in Greek, it is the defense attorney. It's someone who stands up for us. But it's also someone who holds us close with comfort. And this advocate, this one who holds us close, this is the promise that helps us begin to understand Jesus' call to not be afraid. The Holy Spirit is with us all the time, every day. And with the presence of the Holy Spirit encouraging us, aiding us, giving us hope, we can walk into life's difficult moments. We can walk into the dark corners of our world without fear. Concern can still be prudent, but fear traps us. And God's presence and perfect love casts out fear. And in this morning's gospel, Jesus also promises something else. And this other thing that Jesus promises to the disciples and to all of us is peace. Not as the world gives, but this is the peace of Christ. This is the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. This peace is not merely a lull between violence like the world would sell to us. This peace is not temporary. This peace has no strings attached. This peace that Jesus promises us is forever, is free, and is complete. It is wholeness, shalom, and most importantly, it is a way for us to see the big picture of God's love for all creation. This peace from Jesus gives us both the opportunity and the strength to look beyond the brokenness and violence of this world and see the kingdom of God all around us. You see, for Jesus, the brokenness of the world is not the sum total of reality. Instead, Jesus brings God's presence, God's kingdom, God's love into our lives through this peace he promises. Jesus' peace is about building love, about creating community. It's about sharing God's glory and not merely about ending violence, no matter how important that is. But you see, into this call for us to set aside our fears, amidst the promise of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the peace of Jesus with us always, there's also a confusion as to how is all of this supposed to work? What does this look like? How can we know these promises are real? And so I want to tell you a story as a metaphor for you. There's a father who was with his family at the shopping mall. Dad was taking care of the 3-year-old son, and mom was taking care of the 2 other children. You see, his wife and 2 other children were all having a great time, but the 3-year-old was not. No good time at all. Hence, Dad having to watch 1 while mom watched 2. Their 3-year-old that night was ornery, noisy, misbehaving, running around and shouting 1 minute and then flopping dead weight the next. You've all seen it. You've experienced it. Any of you who are parents are sitting there going, I've made that trip. Here we are, right? And so the father just picks up his 3-year-old son. He doesn't scold him, but holds him and starts singing a silly little song. I love you. You like to eat beans. I love you. Your shirt's still tucked in. I love you. Your nose is silly. And so he just kept singing. You've got a cute smile. Your toes are stinky. Whatever it is. And as he sang mostly off key with words that none of them rhymed on purpose. But as he sang, his son stopped wiggling, stopped shouting, stopped wrestling. Everyone started to enjoy their time at the mall. And when they got to the car after the shopping was over, putting his son in his car seat, the 3-year-old smiles and looks and says, sing it again, Dad. The Holy Spirit is God holding us close and singing to us in our fear, in our discomfort, in our joy, in our life. Now, it may not be a song about stinky toes or bald heads or skills at making toast, but it is the calming, comforting of presence, of the God's presence with all of us, all the time. Now, I may not like being compared to a 3-year-old, but if I'm honest, there are times, Stacy will encourage that, yes, there are indeed times, for all of us. The promised Holy Spirit comes into our lives with grace and comfort, making us smile as we realize God's love for us. And that brings peace. The promised Holy Spirit comes into our lives to guide us to better decisions, to help us care for our neighbors, to show us how we can let go of our selfishness and insensitivity, The promised Holy Spirit comes into our lives, holding us close and giving us the promised peace that Jesus talks about today. Because of all of this, all of these promises, we can enter into this afternoon with hope. Because of all of this, we can look to tomorrow with hope. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit with us and the peace of Christ that fills our lives. These are the promises that Jesus made before he dies. And then these are the promises that are made all the more real in his resurrection. We can truly set aside our fears, and we need not acquire any new ones either. Our risen Lord is with us by means of the Holy Spirit to guide and to guard, to forgive, and to assist us, thus providing for us a peace that we need, providing a peace that this world around us needs so desperately. And so now we can go into the world and bring the peace of Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit to everyone. Wherever we go, we get to go into the world proclaiming the amazing truth that Jesus is risen. Amen.